Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Amos. Amos chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. Again, the book of Amos chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. It says, "Therefore the Lord God of hosts, the Lord says this, there shall be wailing in all streets, and they shall say in the highways, alas, alas. They shall call the farmer to mourning, and skillful lamenters to wailing. In all vineyards there shall be wailing, for I will pass through you, says the Lord. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord! For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream." Verses 17 through 24. Again, that was Amos chapter 5. Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're a God of justice, a God of mercy, a God of love, and a God that doesn't look the other way when wrongdoing and injustice is perpetuated in our land and in our world. Thank you for the opportunity we have as your church of being able to stand up and be an instrument through which your love, your mercy, and justice can be meted out to the world. Empower us to be the just church you've called us to be, who speaks out in favor of justice and against the injustices around us, and empower us to be vessels through which your will can genuinely be done throughout the earth, and your mercy can be poured out upon the earth as well. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We want to continue to remind you, we're still encouraging you to take time to pray the Psalm 91 prayer every single day. Again, Psalm 91 is a powerful weapon for divine protection from disease, from danger and harm in the world. And the fact is, we as believers, we're wise to be proactive in putting our faith to work and not running in fear in the midst of all that's going on. So again, if you don't have a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we'd be glad to send you a copy of that. We're blessed once again today to have as our phone guest today, Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. And Alan, thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Pastor Parker, for having me on with you.
Thank you. And once again, if you would take time for persons that may not have heard, whether recent or some time back when you've been with us, about the Justice Foundation, who you are, and what your mission is. Share with our listeners once again the work of the Justice Foundation.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor. I am Alan Parker. I am the president of the Justice Foundation. The Justice Foundation is a nonprofit, public interest litigation foundation based on the Judeo-Christian view of the law. We are a Christian organization, and we represent people at no charge and give them assistance at no charge. We give away our legal services free, but we're a charitable organization. That means we can give away the free legal services because other people support our work and make donations to us so that we can help people at no charge. So we're blessed to be a part of the body of Christ. I personally, Alan Parker, am a licensed attorney. Sometimes I forget to say that because people ask me, well, are you an attorney? After I've talked all about the legal stuff we're going to talk about, I am a former professor of law. Shortly after I gave my life to the Lord as a Christian, he began to clean up my own life and my own family situation first, and I gave my life to him. I said I'd do whatever he wanted me to do, and he took me from private practice of law in civil litigation to being a professor of law. And it was just a miracle. I told him, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I never even dreamed of it, but the Lord opened the door, and there I was a professor of law for 7 years. And then we started the Justice Foundation, which started out as kind of Christian conservative, limited government, free markets, private property, parental rights, school choice, and education for the first 7 years. And then in the year 2000, I went to my first March for Life, and I met Norma McCorvey, who was Roe of Roe v. Wade, and Sandra Cano, who was Doe of Doe v. Bolton. These were the two ladies whose cases brought abortion to America. Mm-hmm. But by the time I met them, in Norma's case, she wanted an abortion. She worked in an abortion clinic, and as she worked in abortion clinics and saw the horror of what was going on there, her conscience began to bother her, and she actually gave her life to Christ, left the abortion field, and became an advocate for pro-life and for reversing her own case, Roe v. Wade, all the way to her death in about 2014. Mm-hmm. And then the other lady was Sandra Cano. She was the Doe of Doe v. Bolton, the companion case to Roe v. Wade. She did not want an abortion. In fact, she was the opposite. Once you make abortion legal, which Georgia already had, it allows people to force other people to have an abortion to solve what they think is their problem. And Sandra was pregnant. She'd already had some children taken away from her. She did have a hard life, but she never would have thought of having an abortion. And they packed her suitcase and said, we're going to take you tomorrow to get an abortion down at Grady in Atlanta. And she took that suitcase and fled to a relative's home in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until they told her, well, if you come back and don't say anything, we won't make you get an abortion, that she came back. Mm-hmm. So the Doe, whose legal documents said she wanted an abortion, in fact, wanted nothing to do with abortion, and it was a fraud on the court. Mm-hmm. So we've had the wonderful opportunity to represent both of them. Both of them have now gone to be with the Lord. And along that pathway, too, I also deepened my faith walk, and I've become a licensed minister of the gospel as well. So I'm both a licensed attorney, licensed to practice before the Supreme Court, and to preach and teach and marry and bury people as a licensed minister.
Okay. That's a neat combination, a preacher of the gospel and an attorney, amongst other things. So praise the Lord.
Well,
that's good.
Well, in fact, it reminds me of what you prayed at the beginning and quoted from Amos. God is much more concerned with justice than most of us in the kind of the Western or American church understand. God is a God of justice, and justice and righteousness are the foundation of his throne, according to Psalm 89 and 87.
You know, and I find it interesting, too, that you mentioned that your practice made a turn in terms of its direction and mission right at the turn of the century, beginning to do what you do with the pro-life cause. So that was a neat point in history for you. Want to mention to all of our listeners, I want to challenge and encourage you, pray for Attorney Alan Parker and the Justice Foundation, a ministry that's doing great things in the kingdom of God. Pray daily for them. And I want to encourage every listener, consider giving financially to support a tremendous legal ministry like the Justice Foundation, because they do so much for people and don't charge them at all. But the fact is, it's the people of God that support ministries like the Justice Foundation that help to make all the difference in the world, and helping these kind of ministries do what they do. So again, they would very much appreciate your prayers and your financial support as well. Well, Alan, today, a part of what we wanted to seek to address deals with the tragedy that's going on in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic that, sadly, in spite of, along with all the other difficulties, sadly, there are many abortion clinics which are continuing to operate right on through the pandemic. In some states where the governors have said you need to shut down because you're non-essential, and we find that in some instances, the abortion clinics keep right on in disobedience to the governor's orders. And other places, the governors have their full blessing and are encouraging them to stay. They're saying that abortion, which is sadly the murder of babies in the womb, is, they're calling it an essential service, and it's continuing. And so before you comment, I want to take a moment, just I want to share a few foundational scriptures that really kind of lay the groundwork to help us understand why the church should be concerned for this issue. This first scripture is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, that says, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." Again, that was Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 says, "You shall not murder." Proverbs 24, 11 and 12, "Deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Surely we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds?" Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9 tell us, "Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." And in Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations.'" And so those are just a few foundational scriptures to help us realize that we, the church, are called to boldly stand for life and stand against the tragedy of abortion. So, but Alan, would you share with us your thoughts about this that's going on in the midst of the pandemic as it relates to these abortion clinics?
Okay, thank you very much. Now, we do know that sometimes in times of emergency, the government can curtail civil liberties for a limited period of time for limited compelling governmental interests. That's one of the tests. And we know right now that the government, because of the pandemic and the safety concerns, which there is some legitimacy to, obviously, the government is curtailing many, many liberties, like the right to travel. They're saying you can't go on the roads unless it's for essential business. The right to work, that's a constitutionally protected right, and yet they're telling people stay at homes. Millions of people are losing their jobs that they had a right to. You have the right to worship, which is the First Amendment right in the Constitution. The First Amendment we put in there was, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise of religion." So you have all these states telling churches, you can't exercise your religion the way you normally do or the way you want to this weekend. You can't gather. In some places, it's a flat prohibition. You know, no more than 10 people can gather, so you can't have a church service. In others, there may be some more limited, like you can't be close together. You've got to figure out a way to social distance. But it's very serious. And yet, in the midst of this, where millions of Americans have lost their job, last I read in the Wall Street Journal was 22 million jobless claims since this thing started. In the millions of people being shut in at home, can't get out legally, and yet abortionists, the abortion industry, including Planned Parenthood, the largest provider of abortion in America, and I might say the one who kills more black children than any other entity in America is the abortion provider, Planned Parenthood, and I call them children because the Supreme Court has admitted in Gonzales v. Carhart, a 2000 decision, that what's in the womb? What is it? Is it a human being? Is it a child? The abortion industry lies to women and tells them, oh, it's just POC, the products of conception.
Anna, we're going to jump in here. We're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back.
speak from heaven. We call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven. We call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven. We call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness. Super amazing.
Music of Dunsin Oyekan, the song simply entitled Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. And Alan, as we begin this segment, would you take a moment specifically to pray for listeners to really have ears and eyes and hearts wide open to what the Lord may want to speak to their hearts and their lives today?
Thank you very much. Father, we come before you humbly. We know that we are sinners. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and heal our land. We need help. Father, we need to return to you. Would you help America to return to you? Would you give us a spirit of repentance? Father, I ask you to open the eyes and the ears of everyone who hears this program. Show them what they need to see. Let them hear what they need to hear, and let them do what they need to do in response to your Holy Spirit's call through this program. None are listening by accident, Lord. And I pray that you'll speak to each one individually in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, just before the break, you were talking about specifically what the Supreme Court, I think the way the Supreme Court defined product of conception, the term they used. Okay, would you pick up there?
Right. Well, now the term product of conception is used by the abortion industry.
Okay.
But what the Supreme Court said is in 2007, some women come to regret aborting the infant life they once created and sustained. Severe depression and loss of self-esteem can follow.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were aborting the child, when the child was in the womb, the Supreme Court says it's an infant life. Product of conception is so misleading. Mm-hmm. It's like saying you and I are just a mass of tissue.
Mm-hmm.
In one sense, that's half true. We are a mass of tissue. And in other words, you can say we're just a bunch of molecules. That's half truth. Satan loves half-truths and lies. But if it is a product of conception, well, what's being conceived?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it a human being? Human fathers and human mothers produce human children.
That's right.
Yet they show us these little pictures of embryos sometimes as if they were a frog or amphibian. No, there's never a frog inside a human mother's womb. Mm-hmm. There's never an amphibian. It's a human child.
Mm-hmm.
And your song talked about made in the image of God. We're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are made in the image of God, if you're a Christian and believe that, well, when do you become in the image of God? Is it when you're born or when he begins making you? No, you're made in the womb, in the darkness of your mother's womb. He says, I knit you carefully when you were as yet unseen. God puts the DNA together, the man and the woman, the sperm and the egg, and then those strands have enough information and enough knowledge of God to make an image of God. Each one of us is the image of God, and it controls us. That DNA that comes from the first two egg and sperm together, that DNA is in there from that moment till you die. Mm-hmm. And you may die at 102 years old, and your body changes. You're made of 70 trillion cells, and yet they're different when they're baby cells and old person cells. Our bones are new. Everything about us changes over time, but because of our spirit and our nature and the fact that we're made in the image of God, who wants to kill that image? Satan. Who
That's
wants
right.
to save that life? God and Jesus Christ, who came to earth that we might have life and have it abundantly.
That's right. That's right. Well, in view of the fact that in the midst of the, again, the coronavirus pandemic, you have all these states that are really trying to keep the abortion clinic up and running and going in spite of the fact that in some cases they've been ordered to stop. What are your thoughts about why this is happening and what the church should be doing?
Well, for the abortion industry, it's all about death of a child and money in the hands of the pocket. In the pockets or hands of the abortion industry. Mm-hmm. They do not tell women things that would make them change their mind or give them enough information. Let me say that two ways, one philosophically, one practically, based on Norma McCorvey's study.
Mm-hmm.
If you were facing a decision, should I abort my child or not, on one of the most controversial issues in America today, and everybody would admit that, wouldn't you want to hear both sides of the argument before you made a decision? Wouldn't you expect a lawyer or a doctor or some kind of professional accountant to give you both sides and then let you make your decision? But that is absolutely not what happens in an abortion clinic. Everything they say is to overcome your objection to getting to abortion. They're selling you abortions. And that's demonstrated from the thousands of women's testimonies that we've recovered at the Justice Foundation from women who had abortions. Everything I know about, if you're sitting here thinking, what do I know about abortion? Everything I know about abortion came from 4,660 testimonies, legally admissible written documents, which we have filed with the courts and legislatures. And women say the abortion industry lies to them, and misleads them, and doesn't tell them the truth, even about what's inside the womb. For example, they don't want a woman to see a sonogram, because if you see a sonogram, even at 6 to 8 weeks when most abortions are done, you can see the hands and feet and hear a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And they desperately don't want that done. The abortion industry sues because some women will change their minds. And then the last thing I'll say, Norma McCorvey, the Roe v. Wade, we talked about her in the first section.
Mm-hmm.
She was pro-abortion. She never had an abortion because her child was born and adopted before they overturned the law outlawing abortion in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But she worked in an abortion clinic, and she began to see. She was one of the, quote, counselors. She had very little medical training, and she was like a health aide. But she was told, don't ever tell them anything that would make them change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's nothing about giving women informed consent. When it says it's between the woman and her doctor, that's one of the big issues in the Louisiana abortion case. And in these health things, the woman doesn't see a doctor. She sees a salesperson who she thinks is a nurse or a counselor of some kind with academic or medical training. And they usually have none. They're there to sell abortions that go in and it's done. And they're not even telling women in this pandemic time about options that they have to take care of their child. Women are desperately afraid, and they don't care about the health. You could go in and be pregnant and healthy. Most pregnant women are healthy. It's not a disease. And why not wait 3 or 4 weeks? You can get an abortion up to 20 weeks of pregnancy in Texas and even longer in some states. But of course, we think it's wrong all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But why not avoid the danger of dying from the coronavirus? Several of the abortionists have Hodgkin's disease already. They're afraid of giving it to their families. They take protection for them, but not for the people who come into their clinic. So it's a terrible thing that abortion is considered more important to America than worshiping God on Sunday.
That is so sad. Just again, part of what you're saying is, in other words, There are those that will really support and keep abortions going in their states, but some of those same states are discouraging or even shutting down worship services. Correct?
That is absolutely correct. And it's part of the decision we have to make as America. God is saying, and I believe that he's saying this, he says it about 37 times in the Bible. And if you look, if you want to read the Bible, just look up all the places that God talks about plague or pestilence or scourge. Mm-hmm. Those are three names for things like the coronavirus, illnesses that come upon us. A plague, a scourge, or a pestilence mm-hmm. are three of the words we use. Just read what God says about it. And he says that sometimes, in order to get a nation to return back to him and to have abundant life instead of death, he has to discipline them. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says he disciplines those he loves. And even in the New Testament, God says he disciplines those he loves. Mm-hmm. And if you just think about it, if a child's running in the street and they're not paying attention, you might have to grab their arm and jerk them back mm-hmm. to save their life. If you're trying to get a child to do the right thing, you start out gently with teaching. Mm-hmm. Look, here's how you should live. And God's given us that in his Bible. Mm-hmm. There is amazing, true, abundant life. When you do things the right way, you get blessings.
That's right. That's right.
He also tells us some things to avoid, like sexual immorality, because you'll have a penalty in your own body if you don't. And you know that 20 to 24% of women today in America between 18 and 24 have sexually transmitted disease.
Hmm.
That's almost 20 to 25% of the population of that sexually mature age. And it's because they've engaged in having sex with more than one partner.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, be a virgin, get married, because you're going to have a baby when you have sex, and you're going to need two people to really raise this child. It's going to be a blessing to you. But don't do sex with everybody, get sexually transmitted disease, produce a bunch of babies that you're going to have to either kill or you won't be able to take care of. He tells us the right way and the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that seems right to some people leads to death. So God is warning us, don't go down this path. And he's saying, America, return to me and I'll return to you. And that applies to every individual. If you're listening to this and you were a Christian at one time, you went to church a lot, and you haven't prayed in a long time, you haven't been to church, you haven't thought about God, you've kind of backslidden, you need to return to God.
Mm-hmm.
Or this judgment could get worse for you. You might be one of the ones that catch it and die. It's appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment. Mm-hmm. Everybody is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, are you going to be right with God before you die, or are mm-hmm. you going to be wrong with God? Are you going to be in the wrath of God, under the judgment of God, which is what happens before you know Christ as your Savior? Then if you give your life to Jesus, come back to him, then you pass out of death, out of judgment, into eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where people want to be, with eternal life. Christians should not be afraid of this pandemic. As my wife says, even if we die in Christ, it's just a doorway into greater glory.
That's right.
Not a tragedy. Yeah. It's not the end of our life.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who think this life is all they have, that's why they're panicked about dying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they think it's so important that we just take panic measures. We've shut down the world out of panic.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to suffer the consequences. But God says, return to me and I'll return to you.
Mm-hmm. You know, just again, just this past weekend, heard a message on the radio. It was on a radio station. A minister shared in the message that they'd heard that the Lord spoke to them and told them that the coronavirus was a result of the abortion in our land. And, you know, on the one hand, there are clearly those persons that hate to hear something like that and want to say, well, that's just not true. But it's important for us to understand we serve a God of justice, a God who's looking at these kinds of things. And the shedding of innocent blood, as you've touched on so beautifully, is a critical issue to look at in Scripture. So further thoughts that come to your mind about that?
Yes. The Bible says, by man, a man who sheds blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Mm-hmm. God upholds the death penalty. Now, I want to say that since we're talking about abortion, that abortion is not the unforgivable sin. Mm-hmm. It can be forgiven. The only unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But I think two of the champions of the faith that are in heaven, for sure, did commit murder. Mm-hmm. David, the King David, mm-hmm. he murdered his own general so he could have, well, first he had sex with the guy's wife, then he got pregnant to cover it up. He committed murder, mm-hmm. murder by official oppression. Mm-hmm. They put him under the walls, he'll die. Mm-hmm. And it looked like he covered up a murder and adultery, and yet David confessed it, repented, suffered some consequences in his life, but it restored his relationship to God, and we know he's in heaven. He was a man after God's own heart. Because we all sin. We all fall short.
I'm going to have to jump in here, and we'll pick up again on the other side. Our phone guest today is Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back. Chris Tomlin, Amazing Grace. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. And Alan, you were hearing about King David and one of his major failures and another Bible character as well. Would you pick up where you left off there?
Yes, I was saying that abortion is not the unforgivable sin. Moses, for example, just before he was about 40 years old, kind of wanted to help the Israelites who were in oppression, to bondage. And yet he went out and found two of them fighting and ended up killing an Egyptian. The Egyptian was, slashing the slave and everything, and he ended up killing the Egyptian. And he got in big trouble, and he didn't do it God's way. He didn't bring out the oppression of the people God's way. Instead, he went into 40 years in the wilderness until he found the burning bush. So we know that it's not the unforgivable sin. Mm-hmm. And if you are someone who's had an abortion, we ask you to give your life to Jesus Christ. We can also, in talking to over 4,000 women who've had abortions, it's a deep, dark wound. And if you've had an abortion, then call our website or call our number or go to our website, and we can give you help by putting you in contact with free, Christ-centered abortion recovery groups in your area. Wherever you live in the country, our number is 1-866. This is toll-free, 866. Doesn't cost you anything. The number 4, Outcry. to just spell out the numbers on your phone for Outcry, number 4, Outcry, 866-4-OUTCRY, or go to thejusticefoundation.org. And under our Operation Outcry website, right there, right on the line, you can hear the testimonies of women who had abortion, but who've been healed by Jesus Christ and forgiven and set free. They are overcoming warrior women right now, mm-hmm. and men who've had abortions. Alan, when I say warrior women, they're doing good things for the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you take a moment now specifically to pray for women and people who've been down the tragic road of abortion and are struggling now and are in need of forgiveness and, of course, in need of a relationship with Jesus Christ? Would you pray for them that they would find the forgiveness and the love that's found in coming to know Jesus Christ?
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and took the sins of abortion of the whole world. By his stripes, we are healed. By his death, the penalty for abortion was paid. It could have been us who has to pay that penalty. And if we don't accept the free gift of eternal life, then we will pay the penalty. But you took it on your Son, Jesus, and he offers us eternal life and freedom and forgiveness. Lord, I pray for everyone hearing this, that they will surrender their will to the Lord. They'll ask for forgiveness, ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Right now, just say, I need you, Jesus. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Be my Lord. Be my boss. I will give my life to you. Take away my sins. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and forgive me in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alan. Now, Alan, if women are feeling fearful and afraid because of the virus and all that's going on in our culture and they're considering abortion, what legal services and help and advice can the Justice Foundation give to those persons?
Thank you, Pastor Joseph, because we've been praying and spiritual comes first, but we also help people in their time of need. And right now, there could be many listening, or certainly you who are listening might know somebody who's pregnant and doesn't know what to do. Many women have lost their jobs, or maybe their partner or husband has lost his job. Somehow, now the family doesn't have any income. Maybe everybody in the household has lost their job. 22 million have lost their job. Well, what can be done? And they feel hopeless. Well, our job as Christians is to give them hope and help. Part of when you get help from somebody, it gives you hope. We want to combine action and prayer and deeds. So, first of all, woman has to know about something called the Safe Haven Law in every state. No woman has to take care of a baby that she can't take care of, okay? We don't ask the impossible. God doesn't ask the impossible. God does the impossible for us. He mm-hmm. doesn't want us to do the impossible. So, if you're pregnant and right now, first of all, you might be worried about, how am I going to take care of a baby? Well, in the short term, your medical care can be taken care of by the state. Every state has a Medicaid program. And if you're low income and pregnant now, you qualify for all sorts of government assistance, women and children's program, help for prenatal care, and your delivery bills will be paid by society as a whole through your local state government, all right? Now, mm-hmm. what about caring for the baby after that? You know, in 8 months or 6 months or 4 months when you're pregnant, this whole thing may be over. You maybe have a job again. The economy may be roaring. But so you may have a job and you may want to keep that baby. But if you don't, there's a provision then called the Safe Haven Law where you can release that baby to society, to the community as a whole. Through the State Haven Law, you drop your baby off at a hospital or fire station or designated safe space, according to your state law, within a set period of time after birth. No questions asked. It's totally free. Whereas if you get an abortion now, you're going to have to pay a lot of money. Abortions are expensive. Safe Haven and free prenatal care are free. So in terms of money, you can keep your options open. Keep that baby alive. Hmm. And in Louisiana and Texas, And in most states, it's either 30 or 60 days after birth you can decide to drop the baby off. No questions asked, no legal procedure. Just turn the baby over or have a friend do it in many states. And you can, you don't have to care for the baby. You don't have to pay child support. You have to go to legal procedure. It's called the Safe Haven Law. Release your baby to the state. And then what will happen to those babies? Well, there happen to be 2 million people in America waiting to adopt newborn children. And that's because 6 million women of America are infertile. They can't have a baby at this stage in their life. And so they want a baby. And so what we can do is stop killing the babies. So it's justice for the baby. It's mercy for the mother. Don't hurt yourself. Give us the baby. We'll take the responsibility. It's all gone. You can be free. And you don't have to give us a good reason. You have to explain yourself. Just drop the baby off for whatever reason. And then it's love for the families that are waiting to adopt newborn children. Mm-hmm. So I call it the love, love, love. All you need is love. And we can solve this problem in America for everybody.
Doing it God's way, in a way that honors Him. Well, let me ask you this too. If with, again, in the midst of all that we see going on in our culture today, if a woman is being forced or coerced to have an abortion, she's being pressured to do it during the pestilence and during the shutdown, sometimes it might be because the baby's father has lost his job and that, again, he's looking at the pressure and he may feel like, well, I just don't see how we can have another child. How would you say the church needs to respond to a situation like this?
Again, we need to let women know the law is on their side. Mm-hmm. Forced abortion is illegal in every state in the union. Let me just throw back to that. When we were talking about safe haven laws, you Google safe haven law and nationalsafehavenalliance.org. It has every state laws laid out for you on the internet, or call the Justice Foundation. We'll walk you through it. And some women even abandon their babies in the woods. That's criminal neglect or abandonment. You can go to jail for things like that. Give your baby to the hospital or fire station, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, for the man who's forcing a woman to have an abortion, that's illegal in every state. Mm-hmm. If parents are forcing a minor daughter to have an abortion because they think, we're poor, we can't take care of another baby as a family, we can't help you. Again, it's illegal for parents to say, if you don't have an abortion, I'm kicking you out of my house, or I don't care what you say, you're going for the abortion, or I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life. Those are all forms of coercion. The only abortions that are legal anywhere in America are voluntary, fully informed, consenting abortions. Mm-hmm. Voluntary abortion is legal. It shouldn't be, but it is. That's the law right now. And abortion is involuntary abortion is illegal everywhere.
Okay. So in other words, if a woman wants to have the abortion herself, then sadly it is legal. But on the other hand, if a parent is trying to force the young woman, or a boyfriend or a husband tries to force or coerce it, that's against the law. That's what you're saying.
That's right. Even Roe v. Wade and the mantra of the Planned Parenthood is, it's a woman's choice. Well, so if somebody else is trying to force her against her will, that's illegal in America. And it can even be amount to murder in about 37 states that say the child, killing a child in the womb is murder, except for the mother and the abortionist that she hires. Mm-hmm. So everybody else, it's actually murder in 37 states. Now, if you're going through this, our website at thejusticefoundation.org has a lot of legal tools that stop forced abortion. Mm-hmm. Just knowing it's illegal stops an awful lot of them. But you can also contact us there, and we'll help you find a lawyer in your particular state to go to court with you if you need to do so. So mm-hmm. And there are 3,000 pregnancy centers across the country that help the woman find where the free government services are. Mm-hmm. If you're low income, the government will pay for your prenatal care, all your hospital visits, all your doctor visits, and the medical care to have your baby born. So we can help find those resources for you in your state and help you know what the law is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then our time is quickly drawing to a close here. if someone just asks you point blank, Alan, is the virus a judgment of God? How would you respond to that question?
I believe personally that it is. Even in 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14, which is being quoted a lot, 7:13 says, God says, if I shut up the heavens, if I bring a famine, if I bring locusts, if I bring a pestilence, which is a disease on the land, so it shows that God can and does. Mm-hmm. Why? To get our attention, to punish wrongdoing. Killing people is wrong. It should be punished, but he provides a way of escape. If we humble ourselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from our wicked ways, he will heal our land. You have to turn from your wicked way, or the wickedness will catch you. Judgment does come to those who sin. And if it's a grievous sin, it's grievous judgment. It's actually, you know, it's, that's why I say, don't fear man who can kill the body. God eventually says, if you reject Jesus, if you die in your own sins, then you will get what you deserve at that point. I don't want it, God says. I sent my own son so that the pain and the suffering would be borne by an innocent person on your behalf. But if you choose death, then death is what you get. And he doesn't want that for any person. No Christian wants that for anybody else. We pray, if you're listening now, turn to Jesus, turn away from your sin, and you'll receive blessing and abundant life instead of death and punishment. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Alan, share with our listeners one more time. If someone wants to both learn more about the ministry, pray for you, or support the work of the Justice Foundation, how can they do that?
Thank you. We'd love to receive contributions so we can help people for free. That's at thejusticefoundation.org. You can contribute online or get our address to mail a check if you prefer that.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us again today. Thank you for being a part of our listening family here on American Family Radio. Please pray for the work of Attorney Alan Parker and the Justice Foundation. We would really encourage you to do that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.